Father, we want to thank you for this time that we have again to come before you and to present ourselves. And Father, we ask for your blessing. We ask, Lord, that you be in our midst, that you be speaking to our hearts, bringing the revelation of your will, bringing the revelation and the understanding, as well as the wisdom that is needed to employ it in our lives and in our circumstance. And that you would give us a heart, Lord, that would hunger and thirst after you. So, Father, we bring ourselves before you, asking for your presence. Without your presence, it is a vain opportunity, it is a vain exercise. Father, it's just a religious thing that we do. But we need your presence. And we ask, Father, that you be here in the midst of us in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Holly, do I have something I can use to erase the board? Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I really kind of want to get into some of the mechanics of this thing that we call sonship. Because there's a process that we have to go through in order to come from point A to point C, D, E, F, G. Hallelujah. And it is a process, hallelujah, that requires and needs tribulation. In John, when John was talking, they asked him if he was the Christ. He said, no, I'm not the Christ. He said, no, I'm not the Christ, but there's one coming after me whose shoes latched. I am not worthy to unlatch. And he shall what? He shall baptize you with Holy Spirit, and he will baptize you with fire. Hallelujah. There were two cherubims set at the entrance of the garden. Hallelujah. They were not blockades to keep everybody and anybody out. Hallelujah. But they were a means by which if one needed or one wanted to go through and into the garden, he had to go through the fire. He had to go through the flaming swords. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the sword, a sword is something that cuts. Hallelujah. And I think there's a description of the Holy Spirit as the word of truth that cuts and divides. Hallelujah. The spirit from the soul. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And the fire is an element of change. Anything you put into fire, even steel, hallelujah, the molecular structure of the steel changes. I hope you boys get it settled. Hallelujah. Thank you. So there is a change that changes something from what you are to what you need to be as far as Jesus is concerned. Now, when they temper steel, they don't heat it until it melts. They heat it to a point that that metal becomes very soft and pliable. And then they take a hammer and they begin to beat it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was somewhere some time back, and one of these places in California we went to visit, and they had this old-time blacksmith shop to show us, to show the visitors that were coming, the process of doing that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And they take this metal, and this guy was making, he was making long knives. And he puts it into the fire, that thing gets red hot, hallelujah. And it's scaling, hallelujah. And then he takes his hammer and he beats it and he beats it and he beats it until it gets a certain color, hallelujah. And when it reaches that certain color, he sticks it back in the fire again, hallelujah. And he does this process several times until he gets it to the place that he wants it. And now in the final stages of it, he takes that sword or that knife and he sticks it in the fire again, and it begins to heat up again, and it comes to a certain point. Now he's looking at the color of it. Hallelujah. I couldn't tell the difference between orange and orange. Hallelujah. But somehow he was able to read the metal, and he takes it out and he sticks it into water. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it fizzles and crackles and does, but there is something in that process that tempers the blade. Hallelujah. And strengthens it. And that isn't the final stage. He again puts it back in the fire. Hallelujah. At least this guy did. And he heated it up again. And he said, well, we won't get it quite so hot as it was before. Again, I couldn't tell the difference. Orange is orange to me. Hallelujah. And he takes it out of the fire and he sticks it into the oil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that puts the finishing touches, to so to speak, on the tempering of the blade. Hallelujah. Now that blade can come out and he polishes it, he sharpens it, and you could probably, and he takes a... He took a very thin piece of paper. He kind of puts it up in the air and holds the thing out and lets the thing fall on it. And when the thing falls on it, it just cuts it right in two. Hallelujah. It's like a two-edged sword that divides asunder, huh? Hallelujah. Now, that is indicative of a spiritual process. Hallelujah. Of a shaping and a molding. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to mark it all up. I only have these markers. You got any other markers? Hallelujah. They're supposed to be whiteboard markers. Hallelujah. But evidently they're not real whiteboard markers. So, well, all right. I'll get rid of these. Now, if you have a hard time getting it off the board, it's not my fault. Hallelujah. I'm going to draw the same thing, but I needed more space. Oh, you know, you have a covering on that. That's why it's not working. You have a covering on this. But you can leave it on there. I can take it off, but I don't know how much trouble it would be. So there is a process that we go through. That would have been much easier, huh? There's a process that we go through. Peter, in one of his epistles to the church, said, "Think it not strange, the fiery trials that come to try one's soul." Hallelujah. You know, we should really be tribulation people. I already got these. Put those over there. We should really be tribulation people, because, and we should embrace tribulation. Not that we need to go around asking for it. Hallelujah. Because the Lord knows our growth and development and the process, and he knows what kind of fire we need as far as our refinement is concerned, or our molding and shaping. The fire is not so bad, I don't think. It's the hammering. Hallelujah. That I think is a little more painful, praise the Lord, because it lasts a little bit longer than the fire, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that hammer can come down pretty hard sometimes in our lives. It's pretty difficult. And the blow can be reverberated. You know, that steel, when he would hit it, would reverberate up through his hand, you know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So there's a process that we want to go through. But there is a process we want to go through because there is an objective that God wants to have. Praise God. There is no beginning. Huh? And there is no end. Do we all agree?
Yes.
Huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No beginning, no end, as far as eternity is concerned. Yes.
Can you write bigger?
Huh?
Bigger.
Oh, write it bigger. Well, it depends how much. You got a little bitty board here. If you had a bigger board, I could make it really big. Hallelujah. Can somebody open this? Yeah, that one's seemingly dry or something. Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. This is what we think about God. Does everybody agree? Anybody disagree that God has no beginning and no end? Huh? Does anybody disagree?
No.
Yeah, that's good, because you're going to have to prove it. Hallelujah. Is it working?
Yeah, it's good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay, this is eternity. Is that good enough? I hope, because that takes all my room. Hallelujah. Eternity. Now, eternity is also called heaven. Would you agree? Is anybody don't agree? Hallelujah. Heaven and eternity are one and the same thing. Hallelujah. And the other terminology is the kingdom of God. Huh? Hallelujah. Or the kingdom of heaven. Now, there are some people trying to make two doctrines. Hallelujah. Of the terminology. Hallelujah. But it's one and the same thing. Hallelujah. Because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the position, the place of eternity, hallelujah, is not a place per se. It's a personality.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't care how you write it. If there was no Elohim, if there was no Jehovah, hallelujah, there would be no kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, or even for that matter, there would never be eternity. There is eternity because God has no beginning and no end.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's what eternity is all about, by the way. It's timelessness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, there's a little contradiction in the scripture. Does anybody know what that contradiction is besides you? Hallelujah. Who is Alpha? Anybody want to tell me who Alpha is? Who is Alpha? What's that? I'm sorry, say it again.
Jehovah.
Oh, you mean this God?
Yes.
What does Alpha mean?
He has no beginning.
But you just told me that he had no beginning.
Yes.
And yet you're telling me he has a beginning.
He is the beginning.
Beginning of what? Come on, brethren. Come on. All right. I'll give you another one. What is the other name that you call him by? What does that mean? I think you're confused. You just told me he has no beginning and no end. And yet you're telling me he has a beginning and an end. That means, what's that?
He is.
You're defying the word Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. Alpha and Omega. Now, Alpha and Omega is referring to a time element.
That's right. not the personality.
It does have. It has nothing to do personally with eternity and his position or dwelling as far as his timelessness is concerned. Alpha and Omega are terms to be used in the realm of time. Hello? That means in the realm of time, there was a beginning. Hallelujah. Doesn't that what the Bible says? Hello? In what? Genesis 1:1. In the Alpha. Hallelujah. And Revelation tells us that there is an Omega. Hallelujah. And this entity that we call the Father, hallelujah, has designated a time element, hallelujah, not for his benefit, but for the benefit of humanity to come from Alpha to the Omega. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because the Elohim is timelessness. Hallelujah. So the program that he has started, hallelujah, has an element of time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to go so much into the time factor as there, I'll leave that to somebody else. Hallelujah. The fact of the matter is that there is a time schedule that God is working by. Hallelujah. And the 7 days of creation, hallelujah, are a example or a hint as to the time element. Hello? Hallelujah. When the scripture says that one day is as 1,000 years, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then that would be you can come to some conclusion that God has given time 7,000 years by which it might complete what it was that was Alpha and that coming to the Omega. Hallelujah. So in the aspect Alpha, hallelujah, is the beginning, and Omega is the finish of that product that he wanted to develop when he spoke, "Let us make man in our own image." And he didn't leave it at that. He said, in our own likeness. That word, look it up. Don't take my word for it. Go into the Hebrew. Look it up. Hallelujah. It means to be like the Elohim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is one little word there that he uses that is very important. He says, let us. Huh? Hallelujah. Us is the plurality. The plurality of you and I with the plurality of who and what he is. Hallelujah. So in many respects, God is saying, the Father is saying, I want to include humanity in the Godhead. Hello. In some measure or some fashion. Hallelujah. There is another demonstration of that in John chapter 17. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there when Jesus is praying that they might be one. Hallelujah. What does he say? How does he say it? How does he phrase it? No, before that. They might be one in us. Hallelujah. It's very important, by the way. That little two-letter word is very important. Hallelujah. Because it's all-inclusive. Hallelujah. So the plan of the Father was to bring man from darkness into light and from light into immortality. Hallelujah. And from immortality into an endless state of being. Come on. mind. Hallelujah. All of this is programmed in the seed, hallelujah, that you receive by virtue of being born again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. There is this element, hallelujah, hallelujah. And there's this position, this place of relationship. Hallelujah. 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 There's this position, this place of relationship that we have with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is designed to bring us to a position of completeness. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, and that position of completeness is Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That position of completeness is Christ. Hello. Hallelujah. The formation and the development of a nature inside of you. Paul said, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, that doesn't mean effervescent, shiny thing. Hallelujah. That means the position or the nature that is indicative of the Elohim. Hello. Hallelujah. All the characteristics, hallelujah, of who and what the Elohim is. Hallelujah. That is the goal. That is the position. That is the place that the Father wants to bring us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I want to tell you that this is just the first stage of development concerning the position or the place of what it is the Father has planned for us. Hallelujah. This is the first development, our stage. All of this, hallelujah. All of this is the first position or development, hallelujah, of our becoming like the Elohim. Hallelujah. Because it says it has not entered into the mind of man. It has not come into his thoughts. He could not even with his imagination begin to think what it is that what God hath planned for him. Now, if you think we're all going to be the same like robots, you're mistaken. Hallelujah. Everything in nature that God creates, hallelujah, has an identity of its own. Hallelujah. But the difference between our identity is as it is now and the identity that we will have at that particular time is by virtue of the manifestation of character that is in God that comes through us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Moses and Elijah stepped out of heaven, the disciples knew who they were. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know whether that is because they have the power of transfiguration. Hallelujah. Seemingly as Jesus had, one of them saw him as a gardener. Another saw him as a fellow traveler. Hallelujah. So it seems as though that position of appearance, however, it can be modified or changed. Hallelujah. I don't know whether that's really important or not. The fact of the matter is there was something that they were attuned to and they recognized because in this man as he spoke to him, because it says that their heart burned.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Their hearts burned with fire, hallelujah, of excitement as this man was talking to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this Christ man, hallelujah, could walk through walls, and yet a man could touch him. Hallelujah. He put hands in, he put fingers in it, and the hole marks in his hand and in his side. He told Thomas, thrust your finger into my side.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The scripture describes him at that time as being a man of flesh and bone. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Not flesh and blood. There was something else coursing through his veins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we're not talking about one single man here. Hallelujah. When the Bible talks about being translated, it's not just talking about being translated from one place to another place physically. Hallelujah. It's talking about being transformed. Hallelujah. From darkness to light. And when you talk about light, you're talking about the personage, the personality of the Elohim. Hallelujah. For the Bible says that the Elohim is light.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
There is this goal. There is this position. There is this place that the Father is calling us to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is what you have. And you don't have to die in the physical to get there.
Amen.
That is if you want to. If you want to. If you really want it. Hallelujah. If you really don't want it, forget it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's better to hear and to do than to hear and not do. Hallelujah. When you look at the talents, that the parable of the talents, there's two of them. I'm using the one where the man was given one talent. The other one was given three talents, right? And the other one was given five talents. Hallelujah. Those individuals, the three and the five, took those talents and expanded them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it isn't so much that you can have five talents, you can have three talents, and you can have one talent. Hallelujah. That isn't the case. It is a matter of the want to. What do you want as far as Christ is concerned? Are you just wanting to have a position of security, of eternal position of rest at the end of the day? Or do you want to be somewhere in the echelon of God's business? Hallelujah. Whether you're working for somebody or you're working for yourself, you're always striving to do better. You're always striving to improve your business. You're always striving to improve your status of employment. You're always looking to build and to propagate it. So what? So that you can get the benefits from it in the natural arena. Hallelujah. We have that principle because there is a spiritual principle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we see that in and amongst the disciples. They were all called. They were all elected. But there were three disciples that seemed to have a greater interest, a greater desire, hallelujah, than the rest of the disciples. That was John. That was Peter and James, I believe. Hallelujah. 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 And those three disciples, of the three, John seemed to be the one who desired more than the rest of them. Hello? And John refers to himself, I guess we could call it a little bit egotistical maybe. Hallelujah. John refers to the disciples, and I think he had the word of the Lord, quite frankly, the disciple whom Jesus loved. How would you like to have that commendation? Huh? Brother Isaac. Hallelujah. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Why did Jesus love that disciple? I think that disciple spent more time with Jesus. I think he spent more time discussing the things about the kingdom. I think he spent more time asking questions. Hallelujah. And then listening to the retort and the reply. Hello. Hallelujah. I think he spent more time in his investigative aspect of nature. And I think he was one of the ones that suffered more than any of the other ones did. Hallelujah. Not that the other ones didn't suffer, and most of them gave their lives. Hello. Hallelujah. But there was something special about John. Hallelujah. And I don't know what it was, but what it was is what I want. Hallelujah. And I think it's a desire that no matter what it costs, no matter how much I am pushed, or tribulated, or persecuted, or rejected, or kicked out of fellowship, I don't care how much of that, if I am doing what God has asked me to do, and I am moving toward the objective. Because you know, brethren, I don't want to die in order to win. Hallelujah. If I have to die, I'm willing to die. But I don't want to die. I want to be translated. My desire is to be translated. And this body keeps telling me, you're getting older, you're getting older, things are changing, you're getting older and older, and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Well, that end of the tunnel, hallelujah, it speaks of eternity, but I want to walk from this life into that life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If God so wills it. Hallelujah. 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 But there is a cost to all of that. There is a position, there is a place, hallelujah, that you and I have to take if we want to be in that position. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, everybody seemingly wants to be some type of ministry. Hallelujah. Everybody's striving in some manner or another to be some type of ministry. We shouldn't be striving for ministry. We should be striving for service unto the Father. He should be our focal point. He should be the position, the place of our thought, our thinking. Hallelujah. We should always be inquiring of the Father. So there is a time frame, there's a position, there's a place, and there's a development that God wants to bring in the mechanics of this position of service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These seven pieces of furniture. Hallelujah. Seven pieces of furniture. Hallelujah. Are the stages of development and growth. Hallelujah. They are the phases we go through. Hallelujah. You could look at this as hallelujah. You can look at this as infancy, adolescence, and adulthood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or you can look at it as trimesters. We go through 1, 2, 3 trimesters. Hallelujah. Before we come to the birthing of Christ. Oh, yeah. Come on. Hallelujah. You know, when the angels appeared out there in the sky above the shepherds, that's in Luke somewhere, Luke 2, I think, Luke chapter 2, hallelujah. When they appeared out there and they begin to sing, glory to God in the highest, praise God, and blah, 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 hallelujah. He said, unto you this day is born the Savior Christ. Amen. Didn't say Jesus Christ, not in that chapter anyway, hallelujah. Oh, by the way, that name Jesus, at the very best, it's a transliteration from Hebrew to Latin. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Pilate was a Roman. Pilate was a Roman. He did not believe in the Jehovah God. Hallelujah. But he believed in a God. And what he believed in was the God called Zeus. Hallelujah. So when they come and tell Pilate that this man is saying he's the son of God, hallelujah. What he's hearing is he's the son of Zeus.
Amen.
His name was not called Jesus, by the way. That's a transliteration at the very best. Transliteration is taking symbols in a foreign language, out of a foreign language, and translating them into symbols of the language that you are aware of. Isn't that right, what transliteration is? Did I get it right?
Yes.
Oh, mark it up for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His name was, in the Hebrew, Jehoshua. Jehoshua, which means God is Savior.
Yeah.
Hello! Hallelujah. Not Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is talking about the Son of Zeus. I think the best translation of Jesus is the Spanish language because it really brings it out. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look it up in your dictionaries. You don't have to take my word for it. Those are the Hebrew. It comes from the Hebrew word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why they didn't say born to you this day is Jesus Christ. They said born to you this day is Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yes.
And you know, there is no mention of this Christ until the New Testament, by the way. Is that right? Am I right in that? Because I've looked for it. I can't find it. Huh? Hallelujah. So the Advent was something spectacular. The Advent was something that had been prophesied. They called him Emmanuel. What else did they call him? Yeshua. But Isaiah had put several names to him. Huh? Hallelujah.
Counselor.
Huh?
Counselor. Mighty God.
Yes. They put all these names to it, but they did not say the name Christ.
That's right.
Why? Because Christ had not yet come in Advent and break into the realm of humanity.
Amen.
It was something that the Elohim planned back there in Genesis 1, verse 26, when they get together. How are we going to make this thing happen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
How are we going to make this thing happen? Let us make man in our own image. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And they got together and began to call it brainstorming. Hallelujah. A friend of mine, he calls it conceptual engineering. I like that term. It means that you get together and you start thinking about a problem and you want to somehow fix it or do something to bring something into visualization. Right? Is that right? Do I got the concept right? And these people with high IQs, hallelujah, they belong to think tanks. I had a friend back in California one time. He was so intelligent, he was almost no good. Hallelujah. And he worked for the Liverpool atomic lab in Liverpool, there in Central California. And they would bring problems. They would lock these guys in a padded room. And they would drop a problem, and these guys would bombard this thing, bombard it with these thinking, bring ideas out, and all of this stuff. And finally, they all come to agreement and bring out this one thing that seemingly will do what it is that they've asked them to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think that concept came from the council in heaven. Hello. Hallelujah. And you know, we're not hearing all of the details. Hallelujah. Why was it that they wanted to develop this thing? Why is it that he wanted man to be created so man could be a part of whatever it was he was going to do? And just exactly what was he going to do? Hallelujah. That he needed man. Hallelujah. And it's not that God needs anything, but he decided that he wanted to need something. Hallelujah. Because there was something going on in the heavenly realm that was causing him a problem. And that problem was something called, an angel called Heliel. Heliel was was the minister of praise and worship. He was one of the archangels. Hello? Hallelujah. And he began to think of his position in a way that was not allowable. I think the Bible tells us somewhere we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when this angel began to examine the situation, hallelujah, he began to think about what he could do in order that he might be able to become as the Most High. He wanted to usurp the position. He wanted to take that place of preeminence. What I'm telling you is something of the basics of what it is God is doing and why he's doing it. Hallelujah. Because there was an element in this type of action until this point in time, until this place, in timelessness. Hallelujah. There was peace and tranquility, and things were in a proper order, and the realm that we call heaven, or the place of the existence of the Elohim, was something that was undisturbed and moving and functioning as it should. But in the element of that place, there was one that began to think in a contrary manner. Hello. And he began to think about what it could be, what he could do, hallelujah, in order to be in that position of preeminence instead of being the vehicle that gave the honor and the glory to the head, which is the Father. Hallelujah. How do we know this? The Bible tells us. Hallelujah. And first of all, the Bible says that the earth was without form and void. If you look at that word form and void, it means major catastrophe, major destruction, major something major that upset the total environment that was there prior to that point in time.
Yeah.
And if you want to know what that element was, you can go to Jeremiah chapter 4. Hallelujah. Because the Bible defines itself. And when you read Jeremiah chapter 4, you read the story of God's people rebelling against him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And as you get down to the latter part of the chapter, I suggest you go read Jeremiah 4. And then come to some conclusion as to what it's saying. Hello? And in that chapter, it uses this exact same terminology. Hallelujah. To describe the issue of rebellion, sedition, insurrection. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 It says, and I looked upon the whole situation, and it was without form and void. So what are we talking about? Hallelujah. We're talking about an element of destruction. Huh? Hallelujah. That is called the world environment. Hallelujah. We're talking about an element of destruction. Hello? Without form and void. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Without form. Did you find that verse by any chance in Jeremiah? It's Jeremiah 4. 23.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's put it up there so they can read it. So they're not, this is not Bert's doctrine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. World. Now, world includes everything. We went through this the other night. Hallelujah. It includes your position of nationality. It includes your position of tribal affiliation. It includes the family in which you were born.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it is destruction. And it is death. Hallelujah. Destruction and death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Destruction and death. Hallelujah. Paul said it in me. I cannot emphasize that more than enough. Hallelujah. He says, in me dwelleth no good thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when he talks about wanting to do, hallelujah, he talks about wanting to do what was right, but doing what was wrong, and what was wrong, doing it when he should do what is right. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, who shall deliver me from this? Do you know there was a crucifixion that the Romans had that wasn't hanging on the cross? Did you know that? Huh? They strapped a dead body to you. And then they locked it in with steel, iron. Hallelujah. And you carried around this putrefying body. And it was poisoning you. And only the Romans could have thought this thing up. Only the Romans could have thought this thing up. Hallelujah. They took a dead body. Hallelujah. And they put it on your back. And then they bound that body to you. Hallelujah. Where you could not get it loose. Hallelujah. And then they drove you out of the city. Or the people would drive you out of the city. Hallelujah. Because that flesh would take weeks. Months maybe. I don't know. You're doctors. Some of you. Hallelujah. But the whole time it's rotting and smelling and it's leaking into your body. Hallelujah. That has to be very painful, isn't it? Hallelujah. And yet we, like Paul, are walking around with this dead man. We're walking around with this dead man strapped to our backs. And the only difference between us and that is that we have the ability to loose it.
Oh, yes.
And we don't. Hallelujah. I was in a meeting one time. And this woman comes up for prayer. She wanted to be delivered. Hallelujah. And she had this particular spirit, one of which was poor me, and woe is me. Hallelujah. And we laid hands on this woman and began to pray, and all of a sudden I went into a vision. Hallelujah. And I see this woman. She's in a cage. She's holding on to the bars. There's bars on this side, bars on this side, bars on this side, bars over her head. Hallelujah. And she's holding on to the bar. Oh, I want to be delivered. I want to be delivered. Picks it up and walks with it. I want to be delivered. I want to be delivered. I picks it up and walks with it. I want to be delivered. I want. But the back of the cage is open. She just needed to turn loose of what it was she was holding on to. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was more something she was doing for attention's sake. Hello? Hallelujah. All she had to do was turn around. And the Spirit of the Word of God said to her, turn around. Let go. Turn around. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't think that woman was dumb or something, because all of us are doing that. We're walking around with this body strapped to our backs. Hallelujah. This dead man, this person of nationality, this person of tribal affiliation and traditional heritage, this person who was born in a particular family. Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're walking around with that on our backs. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus, the pattern son, hallelujah, he left it all. He gave all of it up. He didn't. That doesn't mean that he didn't fulfill his obligatory responsibility to his mother. He had a responsibility, but he didn't let that obligatory responsibility interfere with the will of the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. And in some measure or another, that woman was probably one of the smartest women around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one to be admired because she recognized the ministry that was in her son. And she encouraged it. You remember the wedding feast? They have no wine. Hallelujah. He said, what have I to do with thee, woman? Hallelujah. She knew the time. She knew the element. And she released him. Hallelujah. And then, and on top of that, she followed him around wherever he was going. And she was there at his crucifixion. Hallelujah. You know, the prophet said, a sword shall pierce through thy side also. Hallelujah. And I'm sure that those words came back to her as she saw her her begotten son hanging on the cross in the condition that he was. And she knew he was dying. Hallelujah. But even on the cross, he was taking care of his obligation. Hallelujah. He looked at John. Said, behold thy mother. He looked at Mary and said, woman, behold thy son. And it says that John took that woman to his house and cared for her until the day she died. Hallelujah. But he did not let family interfere with his position. One time he's in the midst of a crowd. He's healing people. Hallelujah. Somebody comes and says, your mother and brethren, they're outside. And they're wanting you. He turns to the man. He says, these are my mothers. These are my brethren. Hallelujah. Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We say we belong to the body of Christ. We say that we are members of each other. So you're in a situation. A brother in the Lord comes up to you. He needs $100 and all you got is $100. And a brother in the natural comes up to you and his situation is just as bad as the other one. And he needs that $100. Who are you going to give the money to? Who are you going to give the money to? You tell me. Who are you going to give the money to? You're going to give it to your natural brother. Hallelujah. So you really don't believe that other brother is a brother. Come on! This is not a playing scheme. This is not a playing scheme. Do you understand? This is God's business. We call him father. So I have to call you brother. Or I have to call you sister. Do I really mean it? Or is it just a protocol that I am saying, mouthing because I am a Christian? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember one time, hallelujah, I was coming to Nigeria. This was several years ago. Hallelujah. And the night before I left, hallelujah, I get a call at 9 o'clock at night, and one of my sons is on the other end of the line. And he calls up, and he said, Dad, this is so-and-so. Hallelujah. I said, yes, I hear you, son. What's going on? I thought he was just calling to tell me goodbye. Hallelujah. He said, Dad, I've been arrested. I said, what? He said, I've been arrested. I said, don't play around with me, son. Hallelujah. I got a plane to catch at 4 o'clock in the morning. So don't play around with me. Dad, I'm not playing around. I've been arrested. They're taking me to jail. I said, well, God bless you. I'm sorry. I'm leaving in the morning. And I hung up the phone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not an easy decision to make. But I knew God had told me what I was supposed to do, and I was supposed to do it. And I knew if I didn't do it and I did something else, whatever I did wouldn't work out for that young man. What I did do is I called one of his brothers. And I said, you know, this young man has got himself into a jam and he's being taken to jail at such and such a place. Hello. Hallelujah. And I want you in the morning to go and check on him. And I said, if you need some money or some cash or some in my desk drawer, told him where it was, I said, come over and get it. And I left. And I said, don't tell him where it came from. Hallelujah. And I left. Hallelujah. And I left with the peace of God in my heart because I knew it would be all right. We have to make some tough decisions sometimes. We have to make some very tough decisions. And we don't make the decisions in the right manner because we don't have the right perspective. We're not looking at this in a vertical position. If I'm looking at this in a vertical position, I have to think of you in a different way. Hallelujah. I am translated out of the house of Asbel, and I'm translated into the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 So there is this darkness, there's this position, this place of destruction. In that Jeremiah 4, it says, and my tents are spoiled. That means those tabernacles, those individuals who are supposed to be his people, in whom he is supposed to inhabit, are being destroyed and destructed. And he is being driven out of that place of abode. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's there, Jeremiah 4:20. And I beheld the earth. Not this earth. This earth. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. This earth. Yeah. This earth. Hallelujah. So there's this darkness out there in the realm of the world. Hallelujah. And God had to condense this darkness. He had to bring it down to where man could handle it. Because he wanted man, he created man so that man had the power to destroy it. That's how he was going to handle the darkness. He wanted to eliminate. He has to eliminate it. He has, do you hear me? He has to have it eliminated in order to go from this point on into whatever else he has got planned. He doesn't want it popping up and spoiling the plans of what he's going to do with man.
Amen.
Can you imagine a world without darkness? Wouldn't that be something absolutely wonderful, absolutely terrific? Would it not be something so beautiful and awesome that we should desire it? Yeah. Then why is it that we desire the things that are out in the world? Our focus is not on the Father. Our focus is on the world. We were created a little lower than the angels, but we were created and given a place of supremacy and power that is beyond your capable imagination of imagining. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. It's beyond your ability to even imagine the power that resides in you by reason of your birth, not your natural birth. And when we are transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's prophetic. Hallelujah. It says we are saved by hope. Hope is not something that you see. It is not tangible. It is not something you can see. It's not tangible. Hallelujah. Not until it becomes something that begins to radiate out of your eyes and out of your soul. You know, we had home meetings in our house. And one day, this woman comes. And this woman has had a hard life. She's probably somewhere between 28 and 35, but she looks like she's 55. Her countenance rough, excluding, this belligerent attitude. Hallelujah. And during the meeting, she got convicted. And at the end of the meeting, she got saved. Not only did she get saved, but she went down on the floor, fell like a brick. Hallelujah. And we went down and prayed and delivered her by the power of the blood. She confessed her sins. I didn't have to tell her what to say. My goodness. Hallelujah. I'm glad we weren't recording it. She just began to list them off and ask for forgiveness and talking about how she was in this pool, this cesspool of life. I didn't have to tell her. Well, now, sister, if you've committed some sin, you need to confess it to the Father. It just came boiling out of her, boiling, boiling, boiling out of her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And she had one of the most radical transformation facially, physically, that I have ever seen. Hallelujah. And I have not seen since. Hallelujah. When she got off of the floor, her face was aglow. It was radiating. And I would not have recognized her if I did not see her fall on the floor. Hallelujah. The transformation was so complete and so absolute. Hallelujah. And joy unspeakable. I think sometimes we have halfway conversions. Hallelujah. I'm not saying you're not saved. You just have not given up everything you need to give up. Hallelujah. When we are buried with him in baptism, it's prophetic. It's prophetic. When you say, I accept the blood of Jesus Christ, you are instantaneously impregnated with a seed that comes from the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there is a change with inside, but it's wrapped up in this cocoon. It's wrapped up in this body. It's wrapped up in all of that soil and dirt of its Nigerian, American, European heritage. Hallelujah. And like the butterfly, it has to come through a process. Hallelujah. When Jesus was praying for the disciples, not one of those disciples was at the point of where he was praying. In fact, all of them deserted him. At the end of the day, they all turned tail and ran for their lives. Ran for their lives. It was a prophetic word. But one of the words that Jesus gave Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Hallelujah. What are we doing with the salvation? What are we doing with the calling in the election? What are we doing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we utilizing it to the fullest extent and the capacity? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I want to show you a picture of hell that we are being delivered out of. Hallelujah. Does anybody know what this is? It's the soul of an ungenerated man. I say of man, I mean you ladies also, sorry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm speaking to you as a them. Hallelujah. Not as an us or me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's hell. And it's the bottomless pit, by the way. Hallelujah. Isaiah says, and darkness, Isaiah 60, is it? And darkness covered the earth, and gross darkness the people. Which is the darkest, darker of the darkness? So where is that darkness that is covering your earth coming from? Coming from the soul of wickedness of man. When death passed upon men, that means that man was now the focal point and the resource of what is called hell. Hallelujah. You know, human beings do things to each other that the animal kingdom doesn't do. Hallelujah. All sorts of depravity, all sorts of... it's the devil. Oh, no, it's not. It's the darkness that is in you and I that does it. Hallelujah. The devil cannot create something out of nothing. He can't utilize darkness by virtue of manipulating it. He has to utilize the generator that can generate the darkness and spew out the wickedness. Hallelujah. And you and I are the only ones who have that position of creation. The power of that creation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Says they that believe upon my name, John chapter 1, verse 12, they that believe upon my nature, not my name Jesus, my nature that is called Christ. Hallelujah. Somewhere in the translation of the Word of God, hallelujah. Somewhere in the translation of the Word of God, it goes from Jesus of Nazareth to Jesus the Christ. Or Jesus Christ. It's almost like a surname. Hallelujah. What family are you? Well, I'm of the family of Asbel. No, I am of the family of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We go through three different stages. Hallelujah. When we get born again, we become the handmaiden of the Lord. You remember Mary? Hallelujah. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Hallelujah. Sorry, guys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you can learn a thing or two if your wife is a submissive wife. Because we are submit to Christ even as a woman is supposed to submit to her husband. So we have to demonstrate that position of submission. If we demonstrate the position of submission to Christ, we're going to treat that lady in a different way, in a different manner, because she's part of my body. She's part of the body that I belong to. And that belong to isn't necessarily my body alone. Loose! I don't hear any amens from you ladies. Hallelujah. We become the handmaiden of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you have to determine, am I giving you the word of the Lord? Am I giving it to you? If I am giving it to you, are you going to allow that word to do what it's supposed to do in your environment when you leave here? Or are you going to fall back into the rut of humanity that you came out of? Oh, come on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I bring a lot of what I am. Hallelujah. I bring a lot of my darkness. Hallelujah. With me into the kingdom. I bring a lot of it with me. Hallelujah. I am saved. Hallelujah. But I have to yet be saved more fully. My salvation has to expand. My salvation has to grow. It has to capture the areas and drive out the darkness. No, it doesn't drive it up. It swallows it.
Right.
Hallelujah. It says in Corinthians that darkness is swallowed up. So my old man has to become fodder for the new life.
Amen.
fodder is a term we use to feed horses, I think. Hallelujah. It's food you give horses. Hallelujah. Huh? Hallelujah. That means that old man has to be disseminated, assimilated. Hallelujah. And that what is not profitable goes out in the draft. Come on! Hallelujah!
Amen.
Hallelujah! I think I mentioned it somewhere along the line. There's a song, I'm a brand new... What is it? I'm a brand new something. There's a song. Yes. Come on, sing it, sing it. Come on. All things have passed away. It's not a lullaby. It's not a lullaby. It's not a lullaby. It's not supposed to put you to sleep. Hallelujah. It's supposed to excite you. It's supposed to innervate you. It's supposed to get the juices of the Holy Ghost juices in you stimulated and percolating. Hallelujah. We have become so sedimentary. Is that the right word? Huh? Settled on our lees. Not on our knees, our lees. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God should excite us. The promise of God. It says of the Hebrews, those martyrs in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it says they did not receive the promise, but they had a good report. At least if I don't receive the promise, I want a good report.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I don't think they were sedimentary in their circumstances and situations. And I think when they got together and they begin to discuss things and they begin to sing song, it wasn't dumpty 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 dump. Huh? I think it was excitement and invigorating. I'm a brand new creation. I'm a brand new man. I've been redeemed. I've been promised. I've been prophesied over. I'm going to be an overcomer. I'm going to fight against the enemy. I'm going to win. I'm going to move under the auspices of the head of Christ. I'm going to be joy to a body of people. Loose. 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 Somebody stand up and shout. Stand up and shout! Stand up and shout! Stand up and shout! Stand up and shout! Loose! 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 Break the flesh, break the bonds. Set us free. Deliver us. Peace.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Angatora lana mandaya. I've been called. I've been elected. I've been chosen. By virtue of a word that I heard. Over 40 years ago, I heard a word. It has fueled my life. It has fueled my being. It has given me energy to overcome. I am here tonight because of that virtue. Hallelujah. 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 Not counting what is behind me, but looking forward to the day of my deliverance when I break through the veil. Teach our children to be sons of God, not Nigerian. We need to teach our children how to overcome. My greatest teacher was teaching my children to do right. Sit down at the table. Hallelujah. Certain foods they don't like. Certain foods I don't like. But Dad had to go out and work for it. Wasn't easy. Had to spend money that could have gone to other things. Could have gone to pleasure. Could have gone to other things. Buying something that would make life a little more easy. Hallelujah. Mom went to a lot of trouble fixing the food. Spends hours in the kitchen. And then the child comes to the table and sits down. And I don't like that. Tough. That's too bad. Eat it. And you know something? It may not be something I like. But I say, like this. You eat it. That's good. Hallelujah. 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 Raising sons of God, we're raising tyrants. Hallelujah. It says, teach them the way they to go. When they are old, doesn't say they won't rebel. Hallelujah. Doesn't say they won't hurt you. Doesn't say they won't spit in your face. Doesn't say they won't do things bad that really hurt you. Hello. But when they are old, there's a prophetic promise I have. I've taught them to be overcomers. I taught them the principles of the things of the kingdom. Loose. And I don't look at the hair. I don't look at the things. I don't dwell on it. I look down at the end of the tunnel. I see the deliverance for me and for them. Loose! 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 One of my daughter-in-laws came to service one day many years ago. And since she was down in the laundry, down in the basement doing laundry. Hallelujah. And she had a lot of laundry to do, by the way. They had a lot of kids. Hallelujah. And there was a lot of laundry to do, and she would spend hours down there. But she spent the time in prayer, folding clothes. You know, it's automatic. You don't even have to watch what you're doing. You're just folding and stacking, folding and stacking, folding and stacking. You know how it is. Hallelujah. But she was praying, and the Lord came to her and said, I have a question for you. Are you raising your kids unto me, or are you raising them unto yourself? Hallelujah. And she had to answer truthfully. Well, up until this point, I've been raising them to myself. Hallelujah. But from this point on, I think I have to rethink my position. And I have to raise them and tutor them in a different manner for a different objective. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This is called a bottomless pit. It's a catalyst that is formed around us like the caterpillar. Hallelujah. And when we come into the blood of Jesus Christ, when we are truly, fully, absolutely born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Ravenhill, he was one of those old-time Christians back in the 1930s. 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, up until 1950s. Hallelujah. But he saw many of the old people, many of the old men of God were his tutor, were his teachers. Hallelujah. He said that these men, hallelujah, had eternity stamped on the back of their eyeballs. That means they were not looking. They were not looking at the natural arena. They were not be divested their resources into the elements that are around them. They had the perspective of eternity and reaching and coming to a point. Do we have that position of testimony? Do we have eternity stamped on the back of our eyeballs?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a man called Finney. A man that believed in prayer and intercession. And he had the faith. Hallelujah. They invited him. One guy wanted to show off his factory to Finney. I guess he was a big contributing factor to the ministry or something. So he wanted to show Finney his position of prosperity. So he invited Finney to come down to his factory there. And there were all these different types of machines in there. People were at them, busy. Finney walks down. Walks in, and there's a big aisle down the row. And so he's walking down, and he's looking to the right. And as he passes the place, people are falling on the floor. Hallelujah. Production stopped that day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
People were falling on the floor confessing their sin. He did not say one word. And when he walked out on the other door and the other end, everybody was on their face repenting. He did not have this word. He did not have this word. Smith Wiggleworth, a man of faith and power in healing. Hallelujah. He went to, he couldn't heal himself. Did you know that? Nah. He had gallstones. And he was continually passing gallstones. Sometimes he would have to stop ministry, go in the back and pass the stone, and then come back out and start ministering again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I think God did it on purpose. Hello? To keep him in a place of humility. To keep him in that place of prayer and supplication. Hallelujah. And when he goes to see a man, hallelujah, who has no feet, and the man wants to be prayed for that his feet can be healed, they grow new, he lays hands on the man and says, go buy your pair of shoes. Pray for him. Just tells him, lay hands on him, tell the man to go buy a pair of shoes. Well, the first thing I would have asked the man is, what size do I buy? Hallelujah. So the man goes down to buy a pair of shoes. He's sitting there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the guy brings out a pair of shoes and his feet begin to form. They begin to come out at the end of his stubs. Hallelujah. And the shoes fit. He don't have this word. He don't have the power of this word. He doesn't have the ministry of perfection. He doesn't have didn't have the ministry of power authority over all the elements. Hallelujah. The commission to this company of people is to take dominion and bring and subdue it unto yourselves. Hallelujah. When we get a headache, we run to the drugstore to get an aspirin. Hallelujah. When we got a pain in our back, we go to the chiropractor. Hallelujah. I call them Houdinis, by the way. They're not doctors. Huh? They're not doctors. Chiropractors are not doctors. They lay hands on you and begin to do their wizardy work. Hallelujah. You may get rid of the pain, but you've come away with something else. And I'm, by the way, if anybody's a contractor here, a chiropractor, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. 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 We're not living up to our calling. We're not living up to our election. When we come here, we are born again. We're coming into a position and being prepared for our covenant relationship with our husband. Christ is supposed to be head of the church. Christ is supposed to be the husband of the church. He's supposed to be the head of the body and husband to the church. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I am supposed to be in the image and in the likeness of my Father. I'm supposed to be in the image and the likeness of the Elohim. Hallelujah! I'm supposed to be omnipresent. Did you know that? I'm supposed to be omniscient. Did you know that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have a dream. And in the dream, you're somewhere else in the world. And you're seeing what's going on and something is happening. The Lord is giving you this or giving you that. Hallelujah. How did you get there? How did you get there to that place to see that happening? Sitting here in the chair last night, this person flashes in front of me. Hallelujah. This person that I know that is in Europe flashes before me. So I pick up my phone and I text her. Hallelujah. I said, "Are you all right?" Hallelujah. I get a text back, Brother Bert. Hallelujah. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how it happens, but you caught me right in the middle of myself just crying and lamenting like I have not done in a long time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I text back a word that God gave me to text her. Hallelujah. When I called her this morning, I said, "Are you all right?" She says, "Praise God, yes." Hallelujah. How did I end up there when I'm here? How did I do it? By the Spirit of God. Yes. Hallelujah. You get a word of knowledge about something you have no business knowing, and yet you get a word of knowledge. You have that experience, I'm sure. Hallelujah. You get this word of knowledge. How did you do it? Because you're tapped into the mainframe.
Oh, yes.
It's a shame that God has to wait till we're asleep to do it. It's a shame that God has to put us unconscious in order to do it. We need to train ourselves. Some of you are attacked at night in your dreams. You're attacked. A spirit comes to you and begins to attack you, both men and women. Sometimes it's a seducing spirit. Sometimes it's a spirit of fear. Sometimes it's a spirit of this or that. But in your sleep, the devil comes and begins to minister to you. You should be able to rise up in your sleep and rebuke the devil. Hallelujah. Not lay there placid and accepting that ministration. You need to come out of that bed with a shout. I rebuke you, Satan! I'm a son of God! You have no business treading on my mind. Get out! But you know, sometimes we give the devil license to come into our mind. We listen to the wrong music. We have the wrong thoughts. We're out here in the world doing our business. We don't have time for God. Hello? Hallelujah. You know what? I started to share it this morning. I don't think I did. Hallelujah. But what they found out with the homeschool movement, the Christian homeschool movement, hallelujah, not per se Holy Church, hallelujah, but the evangelical church was the one that really started it. Bless their hearts. They're good for something. Hallelujah. They found out the more words you get, the better you do in school. Now, isn't that surprising? The more words you get, the better you do. Their students in school were being A plus and plus and plus and plus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And these students that went through the process of homeschooling, they're all scoring high scores. They're putting the national educational system to shame. We have 12 children. We have 12 children in Uganda that we are caring for. They come off of the bottom. They come from out there in the slums. You know what the slums are like.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We made a tour through the slums the last time I was there, this past couple of weeks ago. Hallelujah. I wanted to see where they came from. I wanted to see what they were being delivered from. I wanted to understand why they were in the condition that they were in when we got them. Hello! Hallelujah. And when they and we are responsible for them, hallelujah, as far as their schooling is concerned and all of the things that they are involved in, hallelujah, and we're monitoring them continually, hallelujah. So this, I went to the slums to see them, and then I go to the schools and I'm looking at their grades, and you can see a climbing of grades, climbing of grades, climbing of grades. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can see that this thing is, they were way down there on the bottom in the beginning. No sense of concentration, no sense of dedication, no sense of ability to think about one thing very long. Hallelujah. But their grades are coming up. You know why they're coming up? Because of the Word of God. We have these camps. We bring them into the compound where we are staying. Hallelujah. And we have these camps on their school breaks. Hello? And it's intensive training. It's intensive Word. It's intensive aspect of subjects that we are teaching. We're teaching them about the calling and the election. We're teaching them about humanity in perfection. We're teaching them about the position and the thing and the hand of God that they are on them, that is on their lives. It's changing them.
Amen.
We have one student, hallelujah. When we got him, he's in the upper teens. When we got him in the about the mid-teens, a little bit lower, he was a bully. Not only was a bully, but he was a thief. And he used to rob people. And we got him into school, and he was stealing supplies from the school and taking them out and selling them. Hallelujah. What do you expect? Hallelujah. Had no training, had no discipline, had no Word of God. But over the period of time, that student is now the top of his whole entire school. He's a model. They utilize him as a model. Hallelujah. He got an award for being the best student in the whole school. That child came out of the dreads, came out of the pit of hell, and the Word of God redeemed him. And he's not the only one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brothers were there, and one of the brothers was commenting to me. He says, you know, these young people, they get up in the morning and they come in, they arrange all the furniture and they do this and they do that, and you know, nobody tells them anything. They just come in and do it. You know, I have a room there and I'm sleeping, and I wake up in the morning, they're singing hymns and choruses. And it's coming in through my window. What a lovely way to wake up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Lives are being changed.
Yeah.
Not on the virtue of our diligence per se, but by the virtue of the Word of God. Loose! Loose! Oh, katalala mandaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are to redeem ourselves for the sake of humanity. Did you know that? It's not for your sake that you are being redeemed. Huh? It is for the sake of humanity. John chapter 17 again, Jesus says, I sanctify myself for their sakes. And now let that Word of God sanctify them for our sakes. So what sanctification am I allowing in my life? Am I jettisoning my position of familiarity? Am I jettisoning my position of comfort? Am I jettisoning my position of prosperity? Am I jettisoning my position of career? What am I getting rid of? Totally, absolutely, for the sake of the kingdom, that I might be sanctified for those I am responsible for. That goes for my enlarged family, as well as my natural family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I broke the spirit of alcoholism, my father got delivered. My brother got delivered. My children got delivered. Hallelujah. It was a fight. It was a battle to get up in and through. But praise God, by His strength and by His power, it got broke. Amen. That was a good amen. Hallelujah. Where are you in your process of sanctification? Where are you? Where are you? You know, Jesus asked His disciple, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is He?" I think He could have just, well, He said, "What son is He?" Am I going to be that son? Are you going to be that son? Do you even want to be that son? Hallelujah. It's there. It's on the table. Hallelujah. Because God wants to bring you, deliver you of this darkness so that you can bring and deliver the environment around you from the darkness that is there and present. Someone, somewhere is going to be the savior of humanity. Are you going to be a part of it? Are you just going to see it happen? Or be one of those who are saved by virtue of those who have gone ahead of us? Huh? It's a valid question. Hallelujah. God bless you.